Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Thank you, 909. We are got a lot of stuff going on here. We're talking about getting ready for the snow. We got the inauguration happening, and we just spoke to my friend Cecile Crabtree, who is a reporter in D.C., and Cynthia Lee Sheng, who joins us now, President of Jefferson Parish. I don't know if you heard any of that, but, man, thank goodness you're not there. Whoo! What a commotion.
No, I'm a little behind on the news.
A lot of protests and a lot of screen. Nothing serious, just a lot of people just blah, 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 blah. Let's talk about preparations in Jefferson Parish. How concerned are you about the parish and people driving around, moving around, et cetera?
I think you said it just like that. I'm concerned with people driving around. I think one of the biggest threats in the next couple of days is the road hazards that we have. So this is why we closed. This is why, you know, government is shut down except for our teams that are actually working this event. We just want everybody to stay home. We don't know how to drive in ice. This is not a frequent occurrence for us. We know how to prepare for hurricanes, but snow and ice and this kind of cold weather is just not something that we're used to doing. And I think that's why we're just, you know, if this was in Chicago, everybody would be going to work on a day like tomorrow or the next day. But that's not how we live here, and that's why we're taking, you know, real precautions to just ask everybody to stay home and stay off the roads. That's my biggest concern. I also have a concern with generator and space heater, that people are going to be using that, and there are dangers there, so we need everybody to make sure they practice all the kind of generator and space heater safety in their home. We don't want, it's a real cause of fires for homes, so we want to get through this with everybody okay. So that's very, very critical, especially if you have kids and pets at home. Please, please be careful with your space heaters. And then thirdly, my concern is for our water system. We have a vulnerable water system. You know, with the changing weather and the extreme weather, we are expecting pipes to break. We know we're going to have a lower water pressure. We're going to be having to look at boil water advisories maybe. So we just ask everybody, you know, what our guidance is to, if you have a foundation type of home, you just need to wrap your pipes on the outside, any exposed pipes. We're not asking everybody to run the water. If everybody does that, we're going to be thrown into a boil water advisory. So the most risky homes are the elevated homes, where you don't have the protection of the slab. And so for those folks to you know, just run that furthest faucet from the intake, spaghetti, you know, size drip, is all that's needed. You don't need to be doing it at every faucet in your home. So
I think
that's my three main concerns for this, these next couple days.
Say that again, please.
I did.
No.
About
everybody running the water with the boiled water advisory and causing that, because I think that might get everybody's attention. Say it again, please.
Yeah, we're asking people to conserve water. We know pipes are going to be breaking throughout, you know, underground. The cold temperatures makes the ground shift, and we know we're going to have water pipes break. Plus, with the extra usage of everybody being at home, you know, when that pressure gets low, it forces us into a boil water advisory. And then we're really in, you know, a more difficult situation. So we just want everybody to manage it. And I know some people are saying, everybody run your faucets. No, if everybody runs their faucets, we're not going to be able to handle that situation. So really, again, if you have a slab home, it's not necessary. All your pipes are, you know, contained in the slab and underground. You just need to wrap your exposed pipes. But if you're in an elevated home, all your pipes are exposed. Again, that one spaghetti drip line on the furthest faucet from the intake, from where you get the water, you know, from the parish line, the furthest faucet, just a spaghetti drip size of water to protect your home.
Are you thinking tomorrow the parish is going to just be like shut down completely, businesses, everything else?
I hope so, you know, because I've been to the grocery. It's been really, all my friends are like cooking gumbo ready for these next couple days, planning on staying home, cleaning their closets out. All my friends are talking like this. So I hope the word is getting out. And we can get through this okay if everybody, you know, really the road conditions are the most hazardous situation, and then people are going to start, look, we could have ice, then it could kind of melt the next day, then it would refreeze at night. I mean, we don't know what this is going to look like in terms of that, you know, with how much snow we could get, what the ice conditions are. So feeling safe and going out, but then you're driving at a speed and you hit an ice patch and now you don't have control of your car. Of course, you know, my fears, we have all these open canals. Even our teams, I don't know that the bridges are going to close. State might close a lot of bridges. We might close a lot of local roads. So even for us working it, I don't even want my own people traveling for us to get together if we don't have to, because I think it is that hazardous. So some of us are staying on the East Bank, some of us are staying on the West Bank. I don't want us crossing the bridge if we don't have to. So we're taking it very seriously as the team who's working this event. So I just ask everybody, just chill out. I would love a couple days to just be at home, cleaning my closet, watching Netflix, like just, you know, everybody can just relax at home and feel like you get a couple days off and, you know, go outside, take a deep breath of air and enjoy the cold weather that we have. And then certainly we need to protect our vulnerable population. So we have already opened warming shelters and we have about 20, a little over 20 people at each location on the East Bank and West Bank. So I want to make sure, you know, we get that out at Tarrytown Playground, 641 Heritage Avenue, and the Rhea Ilario Special Needs Center on the East Bank, 6900 Saints Drive. So if anybody knows anyone who, or if your heat goes out and you need to just come stay at a warmer place, we do have those open, and we're ready to flex and open more if we need to.
Well, you're parish president, so you ain't going to be cleaning out nothing or watching nothing.
No, we're working it, but yeah. Everybody else should just relax at home, please. Yeah. Shelter in place at home. We're really concerned about the road conditions. And again, we don't know how to do this very well. We don't know how to drive on ice. You know, we're very cautious and we know how to look for hurricanes. We know how to do that, but this is a different kind of event for us. And, I really just want to get through without any major injuries for any of our citizens and certainly the space heater and the generator safety, please.
What are you hearing from Public Works about water mains or underground things freezing and causing problems for the parish water supply?
We're okay now. I just got off the phone with our water director. We're fine now. Thank goodness we had a break in the Grand Isle water line last week. We got that fixed. And we're in good shape now, of course, but it's the next, you know, 2 or 3 days that, you know, have us a little concerned, and we'll be working. We have our teams ready and working, and we've activated our emergency operations center, so that's active. So, if I could also just make sure, you know, if I could get this out, today on Monday, we would have been off today anyway for Martin Luther King holiday, so we're on a Saturday bus schedule, and then tomorrow there's going to be no bus service. So even the operators, you know, there's not going to be any bus service, as well as garbage pickup. No garbage pickup today and no garbage pickup tomorrow.
One other thing I wanted to ask you was about we're going to talk to Scott Boyle in a minute, but what are they telling you about either the Huey P. Long or the Crest City Connection? Because that's the link between Orleans, Jefferson Parishes and on-ramps and all of that stuff.
Yeah, so I didn't get the latest. I know they were looking at, they have teams out ready to close. I believe everybody needs to go to 511LA.org for the state closures. On our website, jeffparish.gov, we're going to also link to that site, and then any of our own local roads that we end up closing, we're going to also post on our website as well. We have some concerns. We're probably LaPalco over Bayou Signet and LaPalco over Harvey Canal are things that are local roads that our Public Works Director Mark Drews is watching carefully. At some point, he may go down to one lane. At some point, he may close those. Also, Cleary, that goes over in Metairie, that goes over the interstate, is also a local road that we watch, an overpass, you know, because that'll ice quicker. So we will look at that, you know, look at rerouting traffic at some point on that. So that's kind of the areas that we have our eyes on already. We're prepared to go out with sand. JPSO will work closely with us. So we're prepared to do the closures that we need to do. But if everybody stays home, we might not have to worry as much with vehicular accidents or anything like that.
Gotcha. Any final thoughts, President?
No, please take this seriously. I know it doesn't look as serious right now, but these are hazards that we're not used to having before us. And so if everybody just really takes it seriously, and I'm just, you know, the The more modern space heaters are safer, and they have these automatic shutoffs, but I'm afraid of the people who are really cold or their heat goes out and they go up in the attic and they pull out that old space heater from, you know, that they've had. We just want to get through without any house fires or any carbon monoxide poisoning from the generator use. So please make sure your generator is, you know, 20 feet away from your home. The exhaust is going away from any windows. Just please, please be safe with the heating equipment.
Another problem, people using the burners or the oven to heat the home, that's not a
yes.
good idea.
Do not do that.
No.
Do not do that. And even the space heater, I talked to our fire chief. He says you turn off that space heater before you go to bed. He's been to fires like that. He's like, people get hot, they toss off the blankets, and you got a fire in the house. He literally told me that last night. He's been to those fires. He's very concerned about that. So we had our, you know, we have our fire chiefs out trying to get that message out as well.
Whenever you're doing something that you're not used to doing, stop and ask yourself, is it safe? Thank you, President. I appreciate
yes,
your time.
Thank you. Thank you for that message.
Cynthia Lee Sheng, President of Jefferson Parish. That's when the accidents happen. You get cold, you do something outside of what you normally do, and then before you know it, you're in trouble. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Scott Boyle, District Engineer, Administrator for Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. When we come back, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is 9:26 and a half, January 20th. First of all, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It is the day of the presidential inauguration, and we are also on snow eve, waiting for it to snow, heavier rain, snowfall and accumulation than we've seen since the late 1800s. And our coverage starts at 10 o'clock, the inauguration of Donald J. Trump, number 47, 47th President of the United States. CBS coverage of the inaugural swearing-in ceremony and inaugural parade. President Trump, J.D. Vance, and the inaugural address. Afterwards, you can join us for a WWL News special with Dave Cohen, Newell Norman, political analyst Ron Fauché, John Cuvion, and Pearson Cross. That all starts at 10, runs till 4 today. We're going to kick it off a little bit earlier at 9:40. We'll talk to Aaron Dusso, about 10 minutes or so, an associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, to take a preview of the inauguration and the Trump term. He's already has President Trump vowed to declassify documents related to the John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassinations, RFK as well. So we'll see how that plays out. Scott Boyle joins us now, the District Engineer Administrator, Louisiana Department of Transportation Development. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning. I hope you're keeping warm.
I'm trying. Let's talk about the preps that you guys are making, because while this is new for this area, the Department of Transportation and Development deals with this in northern Louisiana just about every summer, every winter.
Absolutely, yeah. We typically have at least one or two, you know, fairly impactful storms. But I will tell you this: it seems like over the last few years we've been getting our share, even down here. Not to the same magnitude, but we've been getting a little something that's been, you know, coming at least every other year.
Tell me about the main questions I have, and I think a lot of people have that I'm getting texts on, are the two river crossings, Crescent City Connection and the UEP Long. Salting them, keeping them open. I know a big concern back in the day was, I think the last snow we had, maybe in the, I don't know what happened on Christmas Day. I think you kept them open on Christmas Day in 2004, if I remember correctly. I know in the 89 event they were closed. But what about on-ramps, off-ramps, keeping those bridges open?
Well, our top priority is to keep the Mississippi River crossings open. That includes what you had stated, CCC, UEP Long, as well as the Hale Box Bridge along Interstate 310. It's vital we keep those open for emergency reasons. You know, we don't want anybody, if a fire truck or ambulance or police have to get from one side of the river, we got to keep those open. So those are certainly our top priority. With regards to the interstate, we're focusing on the spillway along Interstate 10. We're going to be salting that later this evening. The on ramps along I-10. You know, my district runs in the greater New Orleans area, so you could say I-10 from the spillway to the Twin Spans, and we typically would not focus resources on the interstate per se, just because it's so massive. And we you know, with our resources of people and materials, that would be an asset that we would not focus solely on. but we do have priority routes. These are secondary routes that provide connectivity, again, for emergency services, airline, Broad Street, US 90, US 11. So those are the overpasses and roads that we're focusing on where we can marshal our resources the most effectively.
I know you've been on TV, a lot of people asking you about snow, rather salt and brine and so forth. Explain, if you will, Scott, a little bit of how it works.
So salt lowers the freezing point of water. Typically, water would freeze at around 32 degrees Fahrenheit. So when you get a mixture of salt in with that water or precipitation, we're looking at a situation where we're lowering that freezing point of water to around 5 degrees Fahrenheit. So that would be desirable. You know, very similar of why you would put antifreeze in your car. It lowers that temperature. We're trying to keep it from freezing. You know, I mean, all bets are off if we get down to minus 30.
Right.
But certainly, you know, we're in that window where we might dip into in this area in the low 20s. You know, maybe high teens with wind chill. So that's the reason, and what we're trying to do is keep that water from freezing. We don't want that ice to form on that roadway surface. That creates the most hazardous situations of all for driving.
And somebody texted in, it must be from my neighborhood, asking about General De Gaulle, which I think is the state highway, and the bridge 407 over the Intracoastal Waterway and all of that. Is that on your radar, or the highway leading to Belchase 406?
Yes, that the big, we call the Algiers Bridge, yeah, that is on our radar. We will keep that one open. Again, we want to get connectivity. It's not so much that we're trying to promote people driving around in the middle of a snow or ice storm, but we have an obligation and responsibility. We have to keep connectivity, and we got to keep these roads open to make sure that emergency services have access and that they can be safe in traveling. You know, Tommy, we certainly don't encourage anyone to be driving in these conditions. You know, unfortunately, some people have to. You know, we'd like to give the message, if you do have to drive in these type of conditions, starting tomorrow, you know, please drive defensively. Please be aware of your surroundings. Take more time to get to your destination. Allow more distance between yourself and the vehicle in front of you.
When it comes to snow and salt and ice and all of that, because I don't know anything about this, does the snow impact what you can do as opposed to ice to keeping a roadway open?
It is different, no doubt. We're gonna pre-treat and anticipate that it is going to be ice. For snow, we're typically looking at using sweepers. Up north, obviously, they're very well versed and experienced with this. This would be more of a snow plow type situation. So if it is powdery, if it is just coming down, we want to hit it with one of our sweepers that we use to pick up debris, like on the Crescent City Connection. And we have a bunch of sweepers, and we're prepared to work with that. But we are also anticipating the that there could be ice. You know, we really don't know. We're thinking and we're being told it is going to be a snow event, but we're gonna definitely pre-treat, and we're gonna go out there and address the best we can with what we have and do our best until this is over.
When you say pre-treat, that prevents it from freezing, from the so-called black ice forming. And take a second and explain to people what black ice is, if you would, Scott.
Yeah. So the pre-treating would be a situation where we want that salt down. We don't want to start putting salt down once we're about to lose the road, because it's too late. Once it takes a hold, it happens so quick, Tommy. We want to make sure that we get it down first and put that barrier down first. We don't want to be in a situation where we get the car, the interstate froze over. Okay, well, let's go put the salt out now. That's too late. So that's what I mean about pre-treating. As far as the black ice goes, this would be a situation where it blends in. You don't know it's there. The roads have oil on them. They have dust, debris, dirt. And we get in a situation, you think you're driving along, and all of a sudden you hit an air pocket, so to speak. Not a literal air pocket, but you lose control. And it's something that's not prevalent. I mean, if you're driving through snow, you see it. You see it. It's white. It's fluffy. There's going to be tire tracks. But if you're on a road and it's been taken over by that ice, and in spots you can't see it, it's very easy to lose control and have a run into another vehicle or have a roadway departure crash and go into a guardrail or even worse.
What are you hearing about time frame on this, Scott? What are they telling you about tomorrow? When would maybe be the last time you'd want to be on a road and all that stuff?
We're looking at this weather coming in, these flurries starting tomorrow morning around 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. So, if there's any business that you're able to take care of before that, certainly it's going to be very cold, for almost this whole week. But certainly if you need to take care of anything, you're going to start getting into adverse weather early tomorrow morning after 7 a.m. So, just be aware of that. Again, I know some people, they don't have a choice. They have to go to work. They have to, if you can avoid being on higher speed roadways and maybe take an alternate route on a lower speed roadway, certainly that would be something to consider.
Scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you and DOTD that you'll be able to keep the CCC, UEP Long, De Gaulle Bridge, the Hale Boggs Bridge, and the on-ramps open throughout this whole thing? Scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give you a 10 on that one.
Ah.
This is my top priority. Certainly, it could involve things well beyond my control. And, if we get in a situation where we just get pounded and it's just so much snow, but that is a situation where we have to keep that open. And, as long as I've been here 30 years, and I don't remember every event, and I certainly wasn't leading events early on in my career, but the last number of years, even going back to the, early 2010s, I don't recall being in a situation where we lost those bridges. Not to say that hasn't happened, of course. I know you cited an example of a situation where it did get closed back in the 80s or 90s when you had said that. But
not for the Christmas snow of 2004, I don't think it closed, did it?
Not that I'm aware of, no. But that's if we're in that situation where we lose in those bridges, it's
far worse than they said it was going to be.
It's going to be fairly intense, but certainly I'm giving you a 10 on that one.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your time. I know you're busy. Take it easy. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Scott Boyle, District Engineer, Administrator, Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. When we come back, we'll talk to an Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, and do the pregame show for our election coverage. It's coming up 9:38, 22 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. All righty, busy morning, 9:43, 17 till 10, and we're just getting started with our coverage all day long of the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States, who also happened to be the 45th President of the United States, one Donald J. Trump. Aaron Dusso joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
We're freaking out because we're getting 4 to 8 inches of snow here, which I guess there in Indianapolis makes you snicker, huh?
Right, yeah, that's a nice snowfall, but not too bad.
Well, for you, maybe. For us, it's, we don't know how to handle that kind of stuff. Let's talk about, as I sit here thinking about what's and watch what's happening in Washington, and we did talk to a friend of mine, a reporter at the Capitol Arena earlier, and there was some chaos, not anything serious, just a lot of screaming, and I could barely hear her, but we did get an idea of what it's like to be on the ground there. It seems as though when you look at the ceremonial thing that's gone on with Presidents Biden and Trump and the tea, I'm hopeful that we're at a stage now where it's kind of like, a couple saying, look, I said some things, you said some things, let's put it all behind us and move forward. Is that terribly Pollyanna-ish of me to think that?
I mean, it would be nice, and certainly Biden and Trump are showing the signs of cordial transition here. So if we can hope that would continue. But Congress, of course, is a different thing, and so I would guess the acrimony will return really quickly.
Well, that I anticipate, but I guess I'm wondering specifically, as it relates to Fauci and Milley and the pardons and whoever, Adam Schiff, whoever else was included in there, and the January 6th protesters or rioters, whatever you want to call them, how likely is from the presidential part of it of that to be behind us, if as opposed to just the regular partisanship in Congress?
I would say that the ball is really obviously in Trump's court as the new president. If he if he goes down the path of wanting to pardon the January 6th individuals who are in jail right now or serving some type of sentence, that I think is a further escalation of this process. So we'll see if he decides just to let it go and move on, or if he wants to, even starting today, potentially, he'll pardon those individuals.
So if he does pardon them, the Republicans have the House and the Senate. At that point, could that be the final part of it, or what really could the Republicans or what could the Democrats do to further the acrimony? Because I guess maybe in my own naive way, I'm thinking, OK, so he pardons the January 6th people. That's it. It's over. It's behind us. Ashley Babbitt's dead. A couple of Capitol Police officers have died. I'm not trying to minimize any of this at all. I'm just trying to move the country forward. How much of a bump in the road would the pardoning of the January 6th people be?
I think what it does is it actually sends a signal to Republicans that it's business as usual, that the things that we were saying before, we're going to continue down that path. And so because Republicans have all the power, everything is up to them. And so seeing, President Trump decide to continue is a clear signal that, yes, we should continue down the same path we've been going for a long time. Now, if he changes course, that's a new signal, and the most important thing is a signal to his followers in the Republican Party, because they have the power, and they're the ones that ultimately have to make the change.
What can we infer from what we've seen since the election about what a second Trump presidency is likely to look like?
I mean, I think he's going to follow through with, the vast majority of the promises that he said. I mean, we've heard reports about the things he plans to sign even today, the executive actions. I'm paying attention to, I want to see if, this national emergency at the border is declared. I want to see if there's a national emergency related to energy. I mean, those are big declarations because they have real effects. Declaration of emergency at the border that frees up a ton of money for these law enforcement agencies to continue and ramp up their efforts there. Declaration of emergency on energy. It frees up the ability to fast track permits for increased production of energy such as oil, natural gas. So those have real impacts, these emergency declarations right away. And so that's something I feel I'm really looking toward to see if that happens or not.
When it comes to President Trump and the big stick and people being so terrified of him as they are, and rightfully so, does that change after the midterms? Does he have 2 years to really get his agenda through? And at what point does the Republican Party shift, or does it shift beyond that? I guess what I'm saying is, after the midterm elections, compare and contrast the first 2 years of the Trump presidency with the second 2 years. Obviously, he would be a lame duck with the second 2 years. But at what point is he at his maximum power to want of a better phrase, bully people into what he wants them to do?
I'd say right now. Right now is when he's at his maximum power. So we've seen this with presidencies from Biden, the first Trump to back when Obama took office. So that first 2 years is the key, because it's very likely a good bet that you're going to lose control of one, if not both, houses in Congress. Certainly the House, the Senate sets up, the map looks still favorable to Republicans, but the House seems very likely they're going to lose that. And so once you lose that, you lose a lot of power. So this is it. And I think Republicans are well aware of this, because all parties are. You're in control of all three of these big branches. This is the time to act. So I would expect these 2 years to be a blizzard of activity, both in Congress and in the White House.
What do you think his primary goals are? I know immigration is certainly up there. Tariffs, anything else? Is he ideologically bound to anything else, I guess I'm asking?
I mean, the things I expect to see right away are, some of the red meat that the Republican Party has put out there. So banning the DEI programs at the federal level, that'll happen probably today. I would say banning trans women from participating in women's sports, that kind of thing to happen. And those are relatively easier, declarations to make, for the president, because they're not likely, they don't require necessarily Congress to do anything. And anytime you require Congress to do something, it's a more difficult process.
When it comes to the future of the Republican Party with the Marjorie Taylor Greens and that segment, as opposed to the more moderate members of the party, what do you think it looks like 4 years from now?
I think that they're, you know, in a strong position as they've been, certainly maybe in my lifetime. And I think that they have moved more to the Trump party every single year. Trump's been around now for, this is 9 years. And by the time he's done, we're going to be over a decade of essentially the Trump Republican Party. And by the end of that, it is the Trump Republican Party, no question. And so what we would call the more moderate Republicans, they've been largely drummed out of the party, you know, over the last number of years anyway. And so I doubt there's anything left, you know, by the time of his administration.
So this is the Republican Party going forward?
Right, yeah, there's no question. Now, because Trump has, you know, led by, you know, personality in a lot of ways and drawing people to him personally, once you lose that, and of course the history of the world suggests that once you lose that kind of charismatic leader, it's tough for anyone to fill in. So what happens to the Republican Party when they're looking for the new person to take that mantle? It could divide. It could break up into multiple parts, but I wouldn't say it's going to break up moderates versus the Trump wing. It's going to break up into various factions of a more conservative, strongly right-wing party.
That's what I was trying to ask, I guess. Who's the next Trump, or does anybody – because that's going to be a big old giant vacuum, right? So is there anybody that can fill that, or what is it likely to look like?
At this point, I don't see anyone, and certainly not any of his own family. It doesn't seem to, you know, have that kind of ability to draw people to them. That's tough. And what we see when charismatic leaders, you know, from countries around the world is when that individual dies, the countries break apart. I mean, a classic example is in Yugoslavia. When Tito dies in the early 80s, Yugoslavia over the next decade breaks apart, and heck, they go to war and commit atrocities in those wars because they lost that the point of light, essentially, that people see in these charismatic leaders.
Tell me about J.D. Vance. What do you see for him in the next couple of years, 4 years?
I mean, the vice president plays little role ever in any of these administrations. At best, they might be given some token, areas for them to focus on. And those are largely just gifts from the presidential, from the president to the vice president. So I don't want to say this is anything about J.D. Vance, but I don't expect much from J.D. Vance over the next number of years because he is, you know, vice president. And as John Adams said, this is the very first vice president of the United States, that the country has come up with this job for me to do that's totally meaningless. And it's still totally meaningless to a large part right now.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. Professor Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. That's the pregame show to our election coverage, which really gets going at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to Newell Norman when we come back on WWL.